What's the nature of your emergency?
Welcome back to the Tactical Living Podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Walton, joined by Detective Walton. Glenn, how are you?
I'm good.
I hear those dogs barking outside. I wonder if there's, whenever I hear them like that, I'm always curious if we had those lingering coyotes that decided to just stay out in the early morning to hunt, because we have seen that quite a bit over here. But then we've also seen mountain lion prints. So I've also been trying to keep an eye out. I would love to see it. Somebody sent me a picture from a movie theater in San Diego, and the daughter had worked there, and she heard something out front, so she went to go look, and there was a mountain lion at the front door of the movie theater.
Jeez.
Yeah, so now I'm hoping to see one too.
Yeah, I know, right?
Today, we're going to talk about what is community policing. I really wanted to dive into the difference between community policing and traditional policing. I think that perhaps a lot of the newer officers might not even have a full understanding of this. And I also wanted to dive into some different tactics for community policing. Ready?
I'm ready.
Now, basically, traditional policing would be that a crime is committed or a call is made, an officer goes out there, and then they just take care of business. When it comes to community policing, the best way to be able to understand this is basically building these strong ties and working closely with community members. And when you do this, this overall reduces crime. And something I want to point out for you specifically in your career, Clint, you've had so many different details that you've had your hands in. And because of that, I feel like you have a very solid grasp when it comes to the importance and the understanding of having those community relationships.
There's so many factors involved with it, but some of the biggest highlights to it is in our investigations, if you have a network of people that you've established within your city, like you can lean upon them to reach out. Because just think about it, you as you sit there, you know anything and everything that's going on in your own neighborhood, and you know anything and everything that's going on within your community. And that's where us leaning on those people who already have that knowledge instead of trying to recreate the wheel every time is super supportive. But you have to build and nurture those relationships.
Yeah, and one thing with you is you do a great job at making sure that you turn somebody from the community into a resource by showing genuine interest and then gathering their contact information. We're going to go into why that's so important, but the first reason I want to point out why I believe that we need to focus more on community policing is because you're able to build partnerships within your community. And partnerships is basically establishing relationships between police and then basically stakeholders within your community. And stakeholders could be business owners, it could be city council members, it could be members of the general public, civilians, and especially honing in on those individuals that do things like coffee with a cop and, you know, coming to meetings and things like that. They're already showing interest. That's what we in business would call your lowest hanging fruit. Those are the people that you want to know, you want to understand who they are, what they do, what's important to them. And the reason for that is because if you are a detective and you're sitting alone in your office and you're trying to figure something out, wouldn't it make a lot more sense to know somebody who's in that area, who has some involvement, who you know somehow would have a link to that particular incident that you're working on?
It makes absolute sense. And that's what we should be leaning on a regular basis, is being able to go out to our network and say, hey, I need help here, and this is how you can help me. And what does it take, you know, in implementing a community policing mindset, and you can take a traditional call for service and turn it into a community policing instance by taking 2-3 minutes just to talk to people.
Yeah, it means so much. Even for me, like, I'm married to an officer. Officers are my world, but having that interaction and just kind of we call it normalizing the badge, right? That's overused, but it's really true, because we need to have that kind of relationship with the law enforcement in our communities. And another element to this is problem solving. Now, the best analogy I can use here is comparing an officer to the owner of a business. If the owner of a business knows that there's a problem and they're sitting there and they're trying to figure it out on their own, and maybe they're looking at everything in black and white because that's all that they have, wouldn't it make more sense to go down to the very bottom and start all the way up and ask your employees what they think the issue is? They're the ones who are in it. They are the ones, and it's the same with the community. And so if you have an issue that you're trying to solve, it would make much more sense to address the root causes of public safety issues with the people who are experiencing those public safety issues.
Being able to sift through, everyone's going to have problems in these instances in within their communities, it's being able to sift through and analyze the statistical data associated to those problems to figure out, okay, well, this person's having problems with this one individual. Well, it's not that one individual is causing the same problems for everybody else. But when you correlate all the problems together, and this is just an example, is, well, they're having an issue with the homeless population in that vicinity, and being able to take that one instance and turn it into a broader spectrum of how you can address it.
Yeah, one thing I love is in the past 10 years or so, I have seen such an organizational shift when it comes to implementing things that improve community policing. And the things that I'm talking about is, as I made mention of, things like Coffee with a Cop, but you also see so much more involvement with police officers in schools. You see police agencies all across the nation who are partaking in different activities that involve law enforcement. Clint, you as a mounted officer, having the ability to showcase your mounted horse at these community events, that's a fantastic example of community policing.
Absolutely. And use the resources that you have available to you. And if you don't, you know, and as you're explaining this, what I think of is you see these events at schools where there's three or four cops together and they have a booth or operating it, right? And instead of just sitting there talking shop with your buddies who you see on a daily basis, break off, go be with the kids, go be in that environment, get used to speaking to strangers in this instance.
I'm really glad that you brought that up, because you and I had the mounted unit go to an event, and we had to educate the officers on the importance of selling themselves to the community, because that's, you know, they were in their little comfort bubble. And I think that goes along with today's upcoming generations, where they prefer to be comfortable. So that's a fantastic point, and I'm glad that you brought that up. There are countless benefits of community policing. I feel like it really enhances the public trust and the confidence in police. I think that it leads to more effective crime prevention overall, because when you have a relationship, it's like, okay, now this officer's on my side, right? And that us versus them mentality seems to go out the window. And reducing fear of crime with regular community engagement is also a big factor. The more police presence there is, I feel like the more the community feels safer. And then it allows the community and encourages the community to get more involved in the overall public safety efforts.
And not only that, and this is, we are so guilty of this as in law enforcement, of, well, saying, well, I need to go out, I'm so overworked, we give so many excuses of why we can't do it. But if you really look at the benefits of doing it, not only to make your job easier and to reduce this stuff, but the main thing is you're gaining that community support. So say, In a monetary aspect, you think your contracts are coming up. They're going to support you to be able to help build your department to make your job easier in the long run on your whole well-being for your own personal life as well.
Yeah, and we're making it sound like this is all through these rose-colored glasses, but there are challenges to overcome when it comes to the implementation and continued implementation of community policing. I think that it's a significant investment in time, effort, and resources. I know a lot of officers who volunteer their time when it comes to certain community policing efforts, and there's almost inevitably initial skepticism, primarily from the OG officers who don't want to see any kind of changes. And then it's difficult to measure success in the short term. So this is something that you need to make sure that you're in it for the long run in order to be able to see those results.
And I have to throw out this caveat, as community policing isn't producing a TikTok video of you doing something silly in the field. Community policing is actually building those bridges and connections with people individually, not in a media background.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you made mention of that, because that's one of the ugh of law enforcement that I can't stand. And I know we've talked about that before. I hope you've gotten some value out of today's episode. If you have, do us a favor, drop a review, subscribe down below. And as always, know that I am sending you a long, tight hug from my home to yours.